We're going to be starting to look at the 22nd psalm today, Psalm 22. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the psalm, not consecutive. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? And verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. These parts of the psalm are quoted in the New Testament. The first verse, very significantly quoted by our Lord Jesus on the cross. And Matthew records this as well as Mark. But Matthew 27, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then you have the incident where they cast lots for his garments. Matthew records this in chapter 27. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And notice how David is referred to here. Spoken by the prophet. The gift of prophecy is attributed to the writer of the 22nd Psalm. Verse 22 is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 12. But verse 11 starts, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. When we quote or see quoted in the New Testament verses from the Old Testament, if you read closely, you may discover that there are slight differences between the quote in the New Testament of the Old Testament. There's a slight divergence in reading. Now, why is that? Why should that take place? Why, when I read whatever version I read, should it not be exactly the same? There is a reason for that. One study Bible says, most of the time when a divergence occurs between a New Testament quotation and the Old Testament, the answer is the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. It often does not match the Hebrew text from which most Old Testaments were translated. I think it's a marvelous thing that God has preserved his word and has preserved even these slight divergences. What a wonderful gift the word of God is. But that version, the Septuagint, that's referred to, that was a Greek translation of the Old Testament, written for obviously those who had Greek as their first language, not Hebrew. Legend surrounds its production. Septuagint, that means it's of the 70. And it was claimed that 70 different people over 70 days translated the Old Testament exactly the same. Now, of course, that's obviously legendary. But this is a version that it's claimed that the New Testament writers used. and were familiar with and that were quoted as the Word of God. That's controversial, by the way. Not everyone believes that these quotations are from that version. But nevertheless, there are divergences between. They're very slight, and they add to the richness, I believe, of the scriptures. So Psalm 22 is one of, if we can call it, the major messianic psalms. The messianic psalms are a group of 16, 17, or 18 psalms that are thought or known to be prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some claim it's just a thought. Others, like myself, will claim it's a fact that these psalms, various parts of them, refer and point towards our Lord Jesus, to the events of his life, the events of his death. Martin Luther said, "This is a kind of gem among the psalms, and is peculiarly excellent and remarkable. It contains those deep, sublime, and heavy sufferings of Christ, when agonizing in the midst of the terrors and pangs of divine wrath, a death which surpasses all human thought and comprehension." What makes a messianic psalm? What are things that they have that makes them that? Well, obviously they refer to the Messiah. But these psalms are often quoted in the New Testament, either by Jesus himself or by the other writers of the New Testament. I say other because we find that Jesus did write something down. You may remember the occasion where Jesus wrote in the sand while he waited for those who would judge the woman who they brought before him as an immoral woman. And he asked them, "Which of you will cast the first stone?" And it's the only occasion where we read that the Lord Jesus wrote something down. But he entrusted the gospel, the teaching, the ministry to his disciples, to his apostles. And that's why we have the New Testament as we have it, because those men were inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to write these things down and to quote the Old Testament in various places, not just the Psalms, but many other places refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the witness of the Holy Spirit to what God has done. There is a second reason. It's not as important, but it's also been the testimony of the church down through the ages, and it's been the testimony of Jewish people down through the ages that there were certain things that pointed to the Messiah. Of course, since the first century AD, there has been a divergence between the Jewish believers and Christian believers, sadly. But the first Christians were Jews. The first Christians had been brought up in that faith and had come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. So verse 1 is quoted on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a psalm of David. David wrote this psalm. He dedicated it to the chief musician, and apparently there was a tune that was used, the Deer of the Dawn, but it was a psalm of David. So how did David experience this separation from David? his God. We can perhaps think over the various aspects of David's life where it would appear that the Lord had deserted him. But that's never his testimony throughout the Psalms. He states repeatedly that God is his strength, God is his tower, God is his refuge, his ever-present help in trouble. But these words can only come from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ and be true. What does that word mean? Why have you forsaken me? That word forsaken, it means to abandon. It means to desert. It means to reject. And our Lord Jesus Christ, nailed to that cross, cried this verse because he had taken upon himself all of our sin. And the holy God cannot look upon sin. And for this short time, it seemed that he was despised by men and forsaken of his God. But you might note that the word used here, my God, isn't Jehovah. It's the word that's used first in the Old Testament. It's El, E-L. It's used with El Shaddai, Almighty God. It's not the word that Jesus used to describe his Father. They're the same. But it appears that he's been abandoned. But of course we know that him being God in the flesh, it was not possible that that could be broken to an eternal extent. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ was gloriously raised from the dead. But you'll also notice that Jesus says, my God. My God. He's still his God. And the wonders of the incarnation is that our Lord Jesus is God in the flesh. It's where we get the word Emmanuel, the E-L at the end. God is with us. Emmanuel, that is his name. And he cries this verse that demonstrates to us his love. That he was willing to go through this form of separation which we cannot fathom, or fully understand, or fully comprehend. But he was willing to go through it out of love for us. Those words on the cross, they're a cry of desolation, but they're a declaration of the love of God towards us, towards the believer. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he was made sin for us. Because he took upon himself my sin and your sin. What a loving Father we have. What an almighty God he is. What a Saviour we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for those cries from the cross. There are a number of them, but this one in particular is of such power, especially for us, because it tells us that he paid the price in full. The sin that we have, the sinful nature that we have, would separate us from an eternal holy God for an eternity. Our Lord Jesus Christ took that upon himself and died in our place on that cross. And we have life because that sacrifice was accepted. That 3 days later, he was raised by the power of God, a power that he had in himself, and he was raised from the dead. Their sacrifice had been accepted. His sacrifice was over, once and done. Our sins were placed upon him, and every stain rubbed out, washed away by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that stained that cross. So we give thanks, and thanks for this meeting, which reminds us of us on a weekly time, a weekly schedule of our love, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. We give thanks in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.